little-known fact. When Powers Booth said,
"Prettiest man I ever saw,"
he was watching Beef Wine and Shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen! That's right! Coming to you, not quite live, from the Beef Wine and Shenanigans Emporium in picturesque Crown Heights, Brooklyn! It is Beef Wine and Shenanigans. Yeah. Thank you, little girl. Yes, I am Steven, SVP Van Patten. As always, joined by...
Kirk Johnson.
Mark Abbott.
And special guest on the couch joining us, the talented, the vivacious... Taryn Lopez, ladies and gentlemen!
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Taryn, you're new to the situation, so please tell our listeners a little something about yourself.
Not really sure what to say. I'm an illustrator and animator based out of Brooklyn. I'm a dedicated geek, and I love what you guys do.
Well, we
I love the shenanigans.
Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us tonight. And just so everybody knows, Taryn will be joining us when we go live in front of an audience at the Way Station on Memorial Day.
Yes.
No pressure.
Yes.
And those of you that have been listening know that that is the day we will also be addressing Alien Covenant. As a sort of a big special, big tribute to the franchise. And I've been told that Taryn actually has a chest bursting with information about that franchise.
Oh, yes.
And
I was going to have to wait for next week.
That's right. Okay. So that is something to look forward to when and if you join us on Memorial Day, or then, of course, listen to the recorded show after the fact. So I made a sort of off-color remark about Powers Booth, and that is because, unfortunately, he passed away at the tender age of 68, I believe. So, of course, a big star. Of course, Tombstone sticks out in my mind.
Right.
Classic lines. Yeah.
Sin City.
I think the last thing I seen was he was actually in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
That's right.
Last season, right. Hydra, what, season 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the last Hydra big shot.
Wasn't he in Deadwood?
Yes, he was. He was a rival whorehouse owner across from Swearingen.
Swearingen.
Somebody had to say that. So, yes, he will be missed.
Yes.
By anyone who appreciates
great
acting.
Character acting. He's one of the better character actors.
Yes, he was.
100%. One of the few guys that can kind of make you forget other shit while you're watching him. In a new role.
And
that's becoming very rare these days. So cheers.
Yes.
Cheers. To
rest in peace.
Yeah.
And well, bye.
Hey. Wait, name like Powers Booth.
That's a strong.
That's a hell of a name.
Is that really his name?
Yeah,
I believe
that was his Christian name.
Christian. I'm an atheist. I don't know nobody.
Well, whatever. What was his given name?
Was it on his birth certificate?
Did he change it after he joined the Nation of Islam? That's a Wikipedia thing. Was the Nation of
Mama calling Powers?
You know what?
Mama calling Powers.
Damn right.
You know, somebody should Wikipedia. We'll let you, the viewers, do that.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep.
Let us know.
We're just going to let, the, you know, let it, Powers.
Yes, the viewers that can't really see us. But all right.
Powers.
Yes, and he will be missed. Yeah. All right. So, we have a listener question.
Yes.
From one Matthew Mills, producer, friend of mine from my old MTV days, even though not that old, because I think I'm doing a gig for them in a couple of weeks. But, besides the point, Matthew was wondering why Wonder Woman wasn't released on Mother's Day. I have some thoughts, but I thought I'd kick that around the room first and see what you guys thought.
They don't release movies on Sunday.
That's their number one. Wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
That was quick. That was quick. Like, why don't they release movies on Sunday?
I don't know.
Okay. Or it could have. Well, it could have been Mother's Day weekend.
Right. Yeah, that's
true. Mother's Day weekend.
If you're trying to create a Independence Day classic,
you could
go for Independence Day weekend, mm-hmm. whichever the 4th actually falls is wherever it falls.
Well, what's actually the release date for Wonder Woman?
It's June 2nd?
It's
June 4th.
So it's coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Wonder Woman really doesn't...
I mean...
She's not a mom.
Right. I was about to say, you don't
and
think
our
of...
And going to the movies for Mother's Day? I've never heard of any mom being like, I want to go to the movies for my Mother's Day.
Right. I mean, unless it's something really like...
Yeah. Well, nobody actually wants to think of Wonder Woman as a mom.
Yeah, yeah. That too.
Yeah.
That's like the silence right now.
We got enough issues with DC movies. The last thing you want to remember is that I went to take my mother to see
Wonder Woman.
Huh. They can't do any worse.
Aquaman on Mother's Day, I can understand.
That's
right.
That would be genius.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Mother's Day 2019.
Aquaman.
He talks to the fish.
He's always wet.
You know what?
So many tuplets. Oh, so many.
Oh, God.
Well, Aquaman is being played by Jason Momoa. So that actually...
Momoa? Yeah. Somebody always correct me for that.
He's Cal Drogo.
Yes, Cal Drogo. Your dad.
And either way...
Is he your dad?
Shut up. And either way... releasing that on Mother's Day might actually make sense.
That would be the number one movie of the weekend.
Best marketing campaign.
There it is.
So DC, you're welcome.
I just figured
you don't want to release anything that costs you more than $1,000 right now. Too close to Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true.
Yes.
Yep.
That was my answer.
Mm-hmm. That's actually good. That's good. They probably actually changed because of it.
Mm.
They probably found out, oh, shit, it's coming out. Oh, let's just move our shit back.
Yeah.
Because we can't compete right now.
Because, I mean, at this point, I guess that's a good, where they're releasing it is a good spot because it's right before, it's enough time before the summer.
Right. July 4th.
The summer blockbusters kick off technically... by movie standards, Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
So what's the big one coming out for Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, wow.
What is...
You are not on our game.
It's not...
That's a good question.
It's not Thor, right? Thor's coming out...
No, November. Wow.
November.
That's coming out in November. Okay. Wow, that is a good question. What is...
Wait, it's not Spider-Man, is it?
No, that's no. July.
Yeah.
That's July. Okay.
And when is Memorial Day? That's on May.
That's the day we do.
We'll be in the wasteland.
Yeah, we'll be in the
wasteland. So whatever is
coming out,
we'll be missing it.
And Aliens,
which is probably why we weren't. And Aliens is like
is this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alien is this Friday. 19th. The Friday.
Maybe they. Maybe they. There. Maybe there really isn't anything big.
No, it's got to be
per
something.
Se.
Maybe it really is Spider-Man Homecoming now.
I don't know.
I mean, it's in July, so that is.
Maybe that's the big because Marvel is dropping three this year. The Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, and then Thor.
And Thor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough.
Yeah, you know.
Seriously.
For a year. I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna.
Okay.
Speaking of things that may have come out too close to Guardians and suffered because of that. This King Arthur thing is apparently, and I haven't had a chance to go see it, and I gotta be honest, the trailer didn't really motivate me, even though I was a big Sons of Anarchy fan and all that.
Yeah,
King Arthur, not getting a lot of love at the box office.
No.
Any thoughts on that outside of the fact that, you know, well, you just can't fuck with Guardians of the Galaxy. What you thinking about, son? You know,
Guy Ritchie. I guess there's, you know, Guy Ritchie did such a, he had such a big success with the Sherlock Holmes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I figured, you know, give him another shot at this other thing, rewriting, reinventing this idea, because he reinvented the idea of Sherlock Holmes, mm-hmm. right? Gave martial arts skills, he's like all this extra shit, and he had Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, right.
Who, great British.
Yeah. Caliber. Robert Downey Jr. is not British.
No, no, I said playing a great British character.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. And with Jude Law as a great backup.
Yeah.
Right. Which, right?
I thought mm-hmm. it should have been reversed, actually.
Right. No, no, good point. Yeah. But now that, you know, I mean, I saw the trailer.
The American audience wouldn't have bought that.
No, no, they wouldn't.
American audience wouldn't have bought that. They'd have loved it in Britain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Loved it in England.
Right, but like, they would.
Oh, jolly-o. But
American audiences, right.
American audiences. So then,
and Charlie Hunnam is actually British, too.
Yes, he is.
He's actually British. Yep. So, I mean, you know, I'll be honest. Like, I saw the trailer, and I saw the title, and I was a little excited. Then I saw the trailer, and I was not excited anymore.
And you haven't seen it.
And I have not seen it. And I'll be honest, after Antoine Fuqua's King Arthur, and to say I was disappointed is like an understatement. Mm. Mm-hmm. I was angry.
Okay.
I was perturbed.
Betrayed.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I work an entire week. I'm freelance, so I work an entire week just so I can go see that King Arthur movie. And
blame you.
Yeah, angry, a bunch of motherfuckers. Yeah, I was like 20 niggas in a bag, angry. I just wanted to. I was that angry.
That's a big fucking bag.
It's a bag, yes.
Unless they're all like, yes. Gary Oldman size. Gary Coleman.
It's like if you took everybody from the Wu-Tang Clan, stuck them in a bag, and shook them up. That's how angry I was. There's killer bees everywhere. I was mad. So watching this trailer.
But in that still, Method Man is still happier than Capadonna, because like, isn't Capadonna like Uber driver or such shit?
Yeah, but no. Look, Method Man, he ain't that happy. Because he's not doing any movies anymore. He's on BET now.
He's showing up in Netflix shows. He just showed up in Luke Cage.
He was in, yes. as a cameo.
As Method Man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the last time I saw, actually, this is like off topic, but like, you know, Method Man is actually in Rebel for BET.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, I did see that.
So, but mm-hmm. I still think he's a little pissed off. But anyway.
Well, until he starts thinking about how everybody else other than RZA is doing RZA. So much better than him.
Right. Yes. I mean, let's say, you know what? I've lived a long time, been around for a little bit. I've seen a lot of King Arthur movies. There's been a shitload.
I would say you are our resident expert on
There's that. One from the 60s, I want to say 60s or 50s, called about Sir Lancelot. Mm. Just Sir Lancelot, his story. You know what I mean? Okay. I remember the first night,
mm-hmm.
angry again about that. Yeah. Yeah. That was 100 niggas in a bag. First night.
Well, wait. Okay. Is that because... Is that solely...
Yeah, you're angry. Okay.
Let's get into that for a second. Let's step into that. Because that's been out for a million
I'm just
years.
Saying,
I think we've all seen that. Even if it's just like on some random drunken night on cable. Let's talk. Okay, so a couple of things. Because there are some problematic things about that movie. And I'm going to, first of all, go off with the costume.
Yes!
The costume is crazy. That's like...
Yo, they should be like...
That's like college.
They should be victims of a drive-by. That's how bad the costume design was.
It's kind of a sad waste of Ben Cross.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Who can act his ass off.
Yes, Ben, yes.
Yes.
Oh, Sean Connery.
And Sean Connery, of course, as
King Arthur.
King Arthur. And he shows up playing different kings. Oh, he totally phoned that in.
He cell phoned it in. He's like Morse coded. He's like dot and dash is all the place.
Some gaffer is probably like, why are you? I need to check you on that. That's why.
Not your wife.
I have friends.
The best thing about First Night
right,
is Ben Cross's castle. Beyond that, that was a badass castle with a river running through it. Where do you find real estate like that? Anyway, it's like,
I mean, outside of Asgard,
you roll around and somebody's like, why don't we pick this place?
Good.
Look at it, it's falling apart. It's got a river running through it. Why not?
You know what? Good point. Yeah, dude. I'm just saying.
Look, we all agree that the best. The best is
Excalibur.
John Borman's 1977. Yeah. John Borman's
Far and Away, the best.
Excalibur.
And then we just get a whole bevy.
I still say the second best that I don't think a lot of people get a lot of chance because of Margulies. Young lady, she was in Saint Elsewhere.
ER.
She was in ER. You know what I'm talking about? Margulies.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
She was in a TV special made for TV. Mist of Avalon. Okay. Which actually told the Arthurian story through the eyes of Morgan Le Fay and the other ladies of the court. And I have to say, that actually was a hell of a lot, a really nice
telling,
reimagining of the entire tale.
Okay.
Especially when now, you know, they actually went into the idea of the entire, the Celtic, Gaelic mythos and spirituality. They really went into it.
Okay.
And I like that. That was actually well worth.
Starz did a few years ago.
Camelot.
He did Camelot. Right.
With Eva Green.
Which wasn't bad. No, I didn't say it was. No, I said it wasn't bad.
You know what's not bad? Corns on your feet ain't bad either. doesn't make your day great.
I can't like shit with this motherfucker around me. It wasn't half bad. It wasn't half good either. I was great. I got it. Well, you didn't like it.
Well, in all fairness, we've been together for a few episodes now. We all know what Kirk is sensitive about.
That's true.
I'm a sensitive brother.
So where does Gargoyles? I wouldn't Gargoyles go that far.
I'm just saying.
Where was who?
Into Arthurian legends. Who? Gargoyles.
Oh, the TV, the Disney Gargoyles.
Just out of curiosity.
You know what? I did dig that. I like that.
Okay.
I like the aspect of, you know, the Vikings, the Saxons. I liked it. Scotland was not, you know, was actually, like, culturally Southern Scotland very close to how Britain was at that point.
Yeah.
Not with everybody wearing tartans and kilts and all that crazy shit. So I actually dug that. It freaked me the fuck out when they started going to Japan and having gargoyles in Japan.
Yeah,
and
that's when they lost me.
Yeah, and then motherfuckers just, you know, they decided to change the names to Brooklyn and the Bronx as opposed to keeping it regular. Like, either make up some better names, nigga.
Mexington was cute.
Brooklyn, yeah.
So wait, Brooklyn, I Brooklyn. That's very interesting what you figured. That's actually very interesting what you figured Jump the Shark in regards to a cartoon about statues that come to life.
I have layers of complexity. Layers of complexity.
It's like you can have a statue that comes to life at night, but don't name them Brooklyn.
Don't name them Brooklyn.
That's some bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. That is where you lose.
My suspension of disbelief could go far. But, you know, there's roadblocks there, dude.
Everybody's got limits.
I got
speaking
limits.
Of that, since we're
limits.
In that, that was a deep cast.
For?
Gargoyles. For cartoon. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a deep. Ed great. Fucking Asner.
Word.
I mean, seriously. Jonathan Frakes.
Keith David.
Marina Sirtis. Like half the people are from freaking
basically all Star Trek.
Next Generation.
Then you'd have to explain Sally Richardson.
Yeah.
She was hot. She wasn't it. Her cartoon body doubles pretty hot.
I know. And damn it, like, she must have really been juiced into that particular production because they turned around and they said, oh, you want to do it? Okay. And they damn near drew her
to be in the cartoon.
And I've never seen that before or since.
Especially
for a sister.
Good point.
I'm just like, huh?
And
what?
She was.
That's Sally Richardson. Look at that.
Yeah. And she can actually act as long as you don't see her doing it.
Right. Oh, snap. So what you're saying is...
Posse. Bop.
Jason.
I'm just saying. She's a great voiceover actress. You should make your money doing that.
Oh.
Samurai Jack's sister.
I would love that.
Samurai Jack.
Well, you know, that's Phil Lamar.
Samurai Jackie, yes.
Samurai Jackie Brown.
There you go.
Wow. You're welcome, DC.
Take a page from Lamar. Voiceover, baby. Go to voiceovers.
But he, I mean, not to jump all over the place, but he was actually very good in, what's it called, the sketch comedy thing.
Mad TV. Yeah, he was. Him and Orlando Jones.
And Orlando Jones.
Speaking of which.
Bringing back to Orlando Jones. Yeah. Okay, so.
King Arthur is dead.
So, right. Not making any money.
Bye.
Not making any right. Not making any money.
Long live the king.
That'll be something and it's going to be sad because you know what? In another 25 episodes, when it's on Stars, we'll probably all watch it at home and then double back on this particular topic.
I want to condolences and I want to give my condolences and very sorry, Jaimin Hansu, you need to fire your agent.
Oh, snap.
Jaimin Hansu's in this movie.
Oh yes, I know.
Yeah.
You watch.
He's playing Morgan Freeman.
My name.
I thought it was
Morgan
a chew.
It's
like a chew. Son of a sneeze.
Damn.
And I love Jaimin Hansu. He needs to be better. Look, the last movie he was in was Tarzan with.
No. We don't talk about that.
You see? We can't talk about that.
I was going to say Guardians 1.
He was in Guardians 1.
Yeah.
Afterwards, he was in that movie.
And he's going to be in Black Panther.
He's not in the lineup. He's the only one.
Yes.
Well, outside of the three of us.
Yes. He's the only brother from Africa who's an actor in Hollywood who's not in Black Panther.
Yes.
I guess I just took that shit for granted.
Yes. No. That's you know the MCU? Well, you know, Diamond, you was already in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yo, black ass should have waited.
He should have held out. That's bullshit. Because if Evans can turn around...
And go from
two different companies.
No, because Ryan Coogler's go-to man, Sylvester Stallone, the brother, Jordan.
Yeah, Michael
Was in Fantastic Four.
What was that, Fox?
It doesn't matter. It was still a Marvel film.
Understood, but you see how it works though. Because look at Deadpool.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Which one?
There's two Deadpools?
Yes, there is.
Oh, the live action one that came out last year that was the hit?
Yes, and then that thing that was in
both of Ryan Reynolds. Right.
Played by the same actor.
Same guy.
Two different companies. Same cat.
Now we
woke up and remembered that, didn't we?
Yeah, because nobody wants to remember
that.
Because nobody wants to admit that was actually Deadpool.
I remember it. They got my money, so hell. I can't forget it.
I understand your pain, your anger.
Okay, but
100 niggas in a bag.
But Josh Brolin.
Yes.
Ooh, Jonah Hex
is, well,
DC.
You just made it worse.
We need to do so did.
He's Jonah Hex.
Yes.
He's Thanos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's Cable.
Good. Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed. That is confirmed. Wait,
but Cable is Fox, isn't it? Is that going to be through the Fox, not MCU?
But it's still
understood. Understood. But still, you see that it's two different companies.
I get what you're saying.
It's not all, and I understand. No, and it's not that I don't understand what you're saying. And I do believe that the reasoning why we can't have, you know, DH in Black Panther is bullshit. I'm just saying he's not.
See, the only
and
thing
that hurts me too, because I always thought he should be the dad.
I think the entire cast from Coming to America should be in Black Panther, and they should redo that whole fucking scene with the royal penis and clean sire and the whole fucking thing. Exactly.
No,
that shit should be reprised.
So then I guess it's safe to say that Spider-Man is on loan.
Yes.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Because
they're sharing him
he's
now.
Still in Sony,
mm-hmm.
yet he is in
the MCU.
He's in Civil War.
Yes.
And he's in
Infinity Wars.
You got visiting rights.
They have shared custody.
Visiting rights.
You got visiting rights.
And meanwhile, this kid is making bang.
He's making bang.
Yeah.
Bang.
But look, all that to say, though, hope Black Panther does well.
Oh, no, it will.
I mean, I'm sure it will.
We know it will.
Yes, just to say, just wanted to drop that.
Because here's the thing that I've always felt.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since they did the job that they did with Black Panther, introducing him
in Civil War. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I dare say
the
comic book companies know that creators of color are out there.
Yeah.
And they know they need to handle what
the few property.
Characters they have.
Mm-hmm.
They need to start handling them well because we're on their fucking heels.
I'm saying, dude.
I'm saying that right now.
Yeah. And with that, Misty Knight for 2020.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm down with that.
Yep.
She could get it. I mean, you know, you know what I mean.
Nah, man, I know her husband.
Hot.
I'm sorry, okay. I forgot you're the son of Jason Momoa.
Son
of Khal Drogo.
Show me the papers.
Son of Khal Drogo.
You and some Misty Knight.
Yes.
As such, I do not recognize your marriage. All right. So, Mark.
Yes.
You saw Guardians of the Galaxy. Taryn did not. So, we still can't go full balls. Well, that's nice ink, by the way.
Totally can. I know that I have messed up. I should have seen it by now. It is my own fault.
Well, in future appearances, you will be given an actual syllabus.
Yes, please.
You'll be given homework.
I need to know what I need to review.
So you need to walk in.
To be sure.
Walk in blind.
Yes.
And I kind of blame
just
Mark.
Just everyone
anyway.
Dies at the
but,
end, right?
Mark, so you saw Guardians. How did you feel?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think I like the first one more than I like this second.
Okay.
God damn, I hate you so much.
I didn't say it was awful.
It
I'm just
much.
Saying. No, it doesn't take much. You're going to start some shit? All right.
Damn, Khalees.
No.
Go ahead.
I mean, this one was. I mean, I agree with Steven when he said, you know, about maybe a good quarter of the way in, I realized what this movie was going to be about.
Okay.
But I just felt that. When I went to see the original Guardians, I didn't go in there with any expectations.
Right.
And so the movie surprised me. Right. I don't know if I went in there with high expectations,
mm-hmm.
but I went in there sort of like, I want to be pleasantly entertained. And I was entertained, mm-hmm. but I was sort of like, you could have gone in a different direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guardians is a, it's a series that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with.
No. No.
It's really one of those
underground
where if for the exception of a few things,
mm-hmm.
I did not pick up on the whole idea of who Sylvester Stallone's character was supposed to be.
Nothing is over.
He was a Rocky Galaxy.
I didn't realize that till somebody mentioned it. What I would like to know is why the fuck Marvel feels that they have to stop the movie 3 times in the credits to make me sit there. I mean, literally, they threw us out the movie theater. Like, it was like, it's over. Like, people literally were like, there's something else going to happen.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, we got it the first 2 times.
It was like the Lord of the Rings, like Return of the King. You're like,
we haven't ended. It's like AI.
Right.
You know, just when you thought it was over. No, man. We got another 25 minutes for you to kill. So,
and if I could just speak for a moment on the issue of bladder health. on the fact that you go to these movies and they offer these ginormous tubs of soda,
mm-hmm.
you sit there, not that I drink them, but you know, I tend to save my alcohol. I mean, tend to save my calories for the alcohol. But they offer these, you know, big ass drinks, whatever. And you're sitting there, and you know, after a while, you have to kind of. You might have to go.
Right.
And then there's all these, like, false endings.
Mm-hmm.
And psychologically, like, this happened with me in the last Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then, false ending number one. Oh, okay, this must be getting there. I can get up and go now. And then I start to move out of seat. And then, oh, no, more. And then there's more British talk. And you're like, ah, fuck! and it just goes on and on and on. And you know, I just, you know, mm-hmm. like, really, guys, I'm almost done with the idea of it's like, dude, just let me see the next fucking movie.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, it's like right. this was cute mm-hmm. for the first, like, let's call it mm-hmm. 3 years. Now I'm just when I see credits, I'm ready to go. I'm right. ready to have the option to fucking
you. Okay.
leave,
because it was like 2 hours long, right? It was
yeah.
like, it's
yes!
like 2 hours long movie.
Well,
it's a long movie, guys.
I will say this: mm-hmm. the funny part was that, because we, you know, we're Alamo Drafthouse whores now.
Yeah,
we don't go anywhere else, and so Alamo shows old 80s films.
Yes.
Like, they have their Horror Tuesdays and stuff. So what was the trailer right before the movie started?
What?
Tango and Cash.
Well played.
So I'm like,
well played,
for you youngins, Tango and Cash stars Sylvester Stallone
and
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
The two old motherfuckers featured in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
But it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Batista did his thing.
Yeah.
One of the better things about that, they flushed his character out and really let him have fun.
Yeah. I mean, they did it with, I gotta say, they did it with a lot of them, pretty much. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Even the entire, you know, Yondu, when he broke down Rocket Raccoon,
mm-hmm.
and he broke him down, like, emotionally, like, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then Gamora and her sister's relationship. Mm-hmm. That was, I enjoyed those. Those
yeah.
are moments where, like, I didn't expect that to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, just, I did enjoy, you know, put like this, I actually enjoyed that more about the movie. Henceforth, I like this movie more than the first.
Okay. And I'll
say that.
And the one-liners.
And the one-liner. And Baby Groot.
The fact.
Baby Groot is like, you cannot have a Baby Groot.
The fact
he'll
that.
He'll kill everything.
The fact that he called. The fact that he called Rocket Raccoon a
trash
triangle,
panda.
No, he called him a triangle-faced monkey.
Yes.
I almost
yes.
died.
Everybody.
You can bring your triangle-faced
no,
monkey.
The worst part is, Rocket started checking his face, make sure
yeah.
he was like, am I triangle-faced? Is that real? Am I really? But he started checking his shit. Like, wow. He really got you like that. That's deep.
That's wrong.
He really hurt you.
You know, speaking of Alamo Drafthouse, and we didn't get into, because you just reminded me about this, because I almost let myself get into an argument yesterday with a complete stranger at a bar
wow.
while I was waiting for you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You being Mark, for those of you that can't see me pointing at Mark, which is really outside of the universe, only two other people. It was Mother's Day. I had just finished visiting my mother, and I went to have a conversation with a bartender friend of mine, Tim, who works over at Junior's, and I was meeting up with Mark and our other friend Dagna to go to this concert, and a gentleman leaves, and the bartender friend says, yeah, that guy, he actually works over at the Draft House. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And the gentleman across from me goes into this whole thing, brother, and he starts going into this whole thing about, yeah, you know, they're not playing the good movies over there because they're trying to keep us out.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, wait, what? What did you say? And then, because Tim was, like, asking me, had I gone,
right.
what did I see? And I was like, yeah, I was there. I saw Logan, as everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mentioned that in a previous episode. So Tim and I are talking, and this guy says what he says. And I'm like, that's funny, because when I went to the Draft House, there didn't seem to be a problem with me being black. So I was kind of trying to understand what dude was talking about.
Yeah.
And then I said, finally, just to kind of give him an out,
yeah.
I said, oh, so you don't like superhero movies?
Right.
And he was like, no, that's not it. And part of me wanted to have at it.
Yes.
Be like, okay, because here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of humankind,
mm-hmm.
white people have done enough fucked up shit
mm-hmm.
without us having to invent other stuff.
Right.
Like, we don't have to come up with new
shit. No.
That white people are doing. They've already done plenty.
Right.
We don't need to make up new shit. Especially about the fucking Alamo Draft House, where the only thing is shut the fuck up and watch the movie.
Right.
And turn your fucking phone off. And you had just missed this guy. And honestly, it's probably good that you did.
Yeah,
because with the two of us there, I might have felt a little more, but something in me said, this is not a good day to argue with strangers.
At a bar?
At a bar. Pull it back. Pull it back.
I'm sorry, but Steve, it's a bar.
I know. And I'm not quite sure what. Also, I was trying to enjoy my blueberry pie. And I had a Bloody Mary. And I mean, I was in a good place. And then this fucking guy.
Inventing shit.
They don't want us in the draft house. No, they don't want noisy motherfuckers in the draft house.
And they don't want your stank ass in the draft house.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what? I have to say this. When they first mentioned that they were opening an Alamo draft house, and I knew the history of this place, I was like, I'd like to see how the fuck this is going to work in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Particularly downtown where we have Court Street.
Yes.
Where basically it's just talk-a-palooza in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I check my phone every 5 seconds. I was very curious to see what was going to happen. Because I even in my mind, I was like, first night, they're going to throw everybody out the damn movie theater. Because they're not going to be because. But really, it just boils down to, I think once you, I guess this is with all of us, once you reach a certain age, there was a time where when we were young and we were in our teens and stuff, we went to the movies, we made noise, and we got all hyped and everything. You know, even the kids now, when they go to see the Marvel movies and stuff like that, they go to, you get to go to the midnight show so you can get wild out.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a point where it's like, you know what? I actually want to invest my time in seeing and hearing the film.
Yeah.
Plus, you're spending so much and on you spend that shit. Like, this I invested good money into this. I'm going to watch this movie.
Right.
At Alamo, you're not only buying tickets, you're buying food.
Yeah.
So you just spend like $120-something. You definitely don't want to hear the guy next to you.
Right. I mean, that's you just get like a week of ramen noodles because you just went to the Alamo draft house and had a good time.
Saving up for it.
So,
and I mean, forget the dude next to you because you can always look, give a dirty look to the dude next to you. What about Pookie and Ray Ray in the back talking about, yo, son, I wouldn't do that, son. Like, I don't need that now. I don't need that now.
Who's Pookie and Ray Ray?
You know. Them baby's kids.
Wait, I know Lamont and Chewy.
They don't die, they multiply.
Yeah, basically. Mm-mm. But they don't, apparently.
We'll go to the Alamo draft house.
Thank God for that.
They're everywhere.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a must see, guys.
Yes.
It is a must see.
Yes, preferably someplace quiet. Yeah.
Or someplace with a lot of people so you can enjoy it with the crowd, because there are moments where you just start going, oh my God!
Yeah.
Gamora picks up this heavy ass. Gamora goes ham on several occasions. That deserves some holla.
It is dope. It is fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I will say that there is one saving grace.
What?
These nuts.
Sorry. Dangle, motherfucker, dangle.
Why do I even fucking do this show?
You know why.
I got better things to do. And I'm like,
no, you don't.
Oh. I was going to say, before I was so rudely interrupted.
Yeah, whatever.
We just got a passerby of Howard the Duck. Because I was seriously worried that he was going to become a thing.
No. Oh, yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck?
I'm just teasing that.
You know, because Howard makes everything so much better.
Oh, always.
That's why every comic he shows up in ends up dying out. Gen X.
What was that about? You know, I would love to actually sit down with somebody who was in charge of Marvel
around that time. Just to kind of pick their brains.
So about Howard the Duck?
About, yeah.
He was supposed to be like a social commentary.
On what?
I don't, I Wikipedia'd that shit. The
diversity? No, there's not enough diversity. I'm not a talking duck.
You know?
Yeah.
Daffy Duck should be in this. Yeah. But we can't use him. Like, yes, we can.
We just have to change the name.
I guess, you know, the best person to ask is George Lucas.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
George since Lucas he decided to do a whole movie about the guy.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, George Lucas, I mean, and a lot of directors, they this is what happens. They make studios a shitload of money.
Yep.
And then the studio turns around and says, okay, so what else do you want to do? And then sometimes you get a masterpiece like Inception. And then sometimes you get Howard the Duck.
Well played.
I'm guessing.
Or First Night. Or Masters of the Universe.
Don't.
That's a sore spot.
I know, yeah. Look.
Franklin Jones.
Bag. Angry. 100 of them.
Or Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers, yeah.
Or Double Dragon.
Or Double Dragon.
Oh.
Or anything by Uli Boll.
There you go. Yes. Blood Rain, anyone?
Oh.
Blood Rain?
Ouch.
Pop!
Anything like Chocolate Rain?
Huh? I actually saw those.
You saw Blood Rain?
I saw that and two. From Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, my. Oh, wow.
It wasn't worth it.
Damn you, Michelle.
Even she didn't make it worth it.
Oh,
you know, yeah. That, like,
but that's like...
Michelle is the Jaimin Hansu of women, and Jaimin Hansu is the Michelle Rodriguez of Africans.
So
that, you know what that's like?
They're like, they really should, like, talk to each other. I bet you they have the same agents.
Blood Rain.
Yes.
Because I have to go back for a minute.
Okay.
Because there are these moments where certain people show up in a movie and you're like, well, if that person's in the movie,
why?
Can't really be that bad.
That's how they get you.
I mean.
That's how they get you, son.
Gandhi, for Christ's sake.
Oh,
Ben Kingsley. I do not trust Ben Kingsley. I don't trust, what's his name, Sean Connery. I don't trust Morgan Freeman anymore because all of them have just done stupid shit to just get a check.
I mean, it's
you have to add Jeremy Irons for Assassin's Creed.
Yes, why? Why was he doing that?
But that was like, what you call it?
That's Michael Fassbender on it.
Yeah, Sam Michael Fassbender.
Why was he doing that?
That was like me in Street Fighter. But like, what?
Raul Julia.
Raul. We can't go back. Raul.
Damn,
really, son? This was your last movie?
Wait, that's
and that's his last movie.
That is the legacy movie. You left.
That was his last fucking movie.
He had a fantastic monologue in that movie.
He did, but...
Okay?
But look...
He gave gravitas.
Like, if you really wanted the motivation for William Dafoe's moment in Platoon when he runs to his knees and his hands are up in the sky and he's not really being shot at because it's a movie, so the director's like, well, I need you to have motivation. What's your motivation?
I really want to know if it's really one of these things where is it a paycheck, or did you get the script and go, you know what, I've always wanted to do one of these.
I always wanted to be M. Bison.
Or it's a favor. Or you owe somebody,
a favor
from years ago. Like, oh, this guy let me be in this movie. Okay, so I have to.
I'm not performing in no fun of no goddamn thing.
Yo, yeah. Raul got scammed by William Hurt.
There you go.
After him and the spider. After that,
see,
that whole spider thing.
I want to know what the backroom deals that were happening that made that movie happen. Because you know somebody was shaking somebody else's hand. Like, there's no reason why anybody signed on to that film after reading that script.
No, after having John Van Damme going, I'm in. Like, oh, who's
wait, he's our lead? And he's supposed to be an American guy?
Right.
Really? With that accent?
And you want me in this? Where the fuck is my agent? Fine,
maybe,
everybody.
Maybe we're overthinking it, though. Maybe it all just comes down to coke addiction.
Nice. Yeah.
The easiest answer is usually the right one.
No, or it could,
right?
it could simply be you were at a party and the music was too loud. I want you to do that. Okay. Wait, when the hell did I agree to do that?
You want me to be a Shakespeare? No.
Jeez.
Street Fighter. Taming of the Shrew.
Same thing. No.
Okay. Yeah, same thing.
Because, I mean, what's his name? Harry, I can never say his last name. The Japanese guy. Carry, he's on Man in the High Castle. He was Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
I'm like...
In
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, my God.
Like, you had a whole... I mean, whose idea was it to call Christopher Lambert? It's like, you have all these... I'm like, y'all couldn't find the guy... From
entire nation.
You mean to tell me that the guy from Big Trouble in Little China was that old that y'all couldn't call him and ask him to play Raiden? I mean,
good point.
I mean, why of all the people in the room? That's like, you know what? It's like that scene from RoboCop when the brother in RoboCop 2, when he's like, why don't we just give him 52 different directives? Like, he goes over and says, have a nice day. You know what? That's a great idea. Like, someone in the room was like, you know who would make a great... Why don't we just get Christopher Lambert? I mean, after all, he was a Highlander. That's a great idea. No, I'm kidding, man.
Actually, he's also nearsighted. He couldn't see. He can't see.
He also couldn't see where...
Damn, motherfucker's nearsighted. He wear glasses.
Well, that's probably why they never had him do anything.
Yeah.
There can only be one blind motherfucker, apparently. Well, and it's Christopher Lambert.
Shouldn't have been our old agent.
Let it go.
I'm sorry. Yes, next topic. Yes.
All right. Well.
Oh, God. I don't even know where we're starting.
Mark and I were off at a concert last night, as we previously discussed.
Yes.
So, we missed American Gods.
Yes, we did.
And I tried to find it on the Stars On Demand before the show, and it's not up yet. So, thank you, Stars.
Damn you.
So, I went to, you know, make dinner instead. But you, Kurt... Taryn, you guys saw it, the latest episode.
Yes.
So, without completely ripping mine and Mark's souls out, if you guys want to...
Well, as we already know from the other two episodes, there's always a God introduction, right?
Right.
They always introduce at least one God that, you know, you'll see somewhere down the line.
Yep.
And this one was... Who was this one? This one...
It was a djinn.
No, for the opening, the intro. For every intro for American Gods, we find out where Odin came from.
Right.
We find Anansi.
Yes.
And this one now is Anubis.
That's right, it was Anubis, yes.
Anubis. So,
yes, it took me a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
It was.
I really love the... Well, I don't want to...
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
I really love the fact that... You know, he goes to this woman, and she flat out says, "You know, this is a Muslim family. You know, this is not. You know, I don't worship you anymore." And he was like, "Well, your family did. You did as a child. So it's like the gods of your family, the gods of your ancestors, are still your gods, even if you don't yourself subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm.
They still watch over you because that was the gods of your family."
Yeah. Right?
So that was a pretty cool, like, moment to, you know,
that was
just
a great moment. That
see
was,
how they dealt with that.
Yeah, and just, you know, as a dude from Brooklyn, I did get a kick out of. I got a kick out of. You know, it's spoiler. Anubis comes in. You know, Anubis is the big black dude.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
Huge fingers. So, you know, she opens the door. Little Egyptian woman, he opens the door and there's a big black guy and she looks at him and she goes, black family's upstairs. Not realizing who he is and what he's there for. So that I got a kick out of that, you know, she, you know, and he has to explain that, you know, you're...
Yeah, it took her a minute. He doesn't actually
bye-bye,
say his name.
Yeah, you've gone bye-bye.
Yeah.
And the entire, the...
Not to be confused with boom-bye-bye.
Right, not boom-bye, well, yeah. But more power booths like
bye. Bye. Yes, exactly. And the whole idea of being Anubis is the god of the dead, and he weighs your heart against an ostrich feather, Ma'at, I think
they call it.
Yeah, yeah. An ostrich feather. Your heart has to balance an ostrich feather.
It has to be lighter than
Or balance it, and to get sent to the to be able to enter the afterlife. And if it's heavier, you get your soul gets fed to this
crocodile right?
Lion, hippo demon thing.
Yeah,
there's some great, like, if you go to Pinterest, they got some great images of this fucking thing. It's ridiculous. but that's the intro god, I guess, for like a better term.
Yeah.
And we are introduced also to a djinn, and
that was a really cool scene.
Look, I love Spartacus. I love Star Spartacus. I have no problem with that. I have no problem. You know, there are so many erotic, homoerotic scenes in that show. I really don't have a problem with it. This shit here, this moment of tenderness.
This magic.
I'll be honest. It caught me a little bit. Yes. I wasn't freaked out like I thought I would be.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, that's disgusting. No. If you think, just take it away. It was a beautiful moment. It was an experience that a mortal and a djinn had.
Yeah.
And
it happens kind of naturally. Like, it's kind of organic.
Right, it's very organic.
It doesn't feel like it was very put on.
Right. And of course, yes, you're going to be put off by the fact that it's two cats.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. For those of you who don't speak Negro East, two men. Arab men.
Yeah. That's a different kind of movie, right?
Yeah. Two cats is Warner Brothers porn.
This took a really dark turn just now.
Yeah, it did, right? But it's actually not that. It's a djinn and a human, mm-hmm. if you just think of it in those terms. But that scene was actually, it was, I know somebody who watches American Gods, and he got freaked out every time in Spartacus the dudes kissed. So I know right now that dude is like freaking out at his house.
He's like in the shower, like in the Crying Game.
That nigga's pacing back and forth in his house going like this. Why the fuck they do that? Why was that necessary? And so, but to let you all know, I feel I should warn you guys. Yeah, it's graphic. It's not graphic, but it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's tastefully done.
It's tastefully done.
Yeah.
But, and there's a question about, actually, there's a thing about it that bothered me. I don't think they actually, and spoilers, everybody, spoilers. I read the book, and in the book, it is actually, for me at least, it's made clear that the djinn switched lives with Salim.
Right.
Mm.
Salim is a salesman. In 2017, you know what life of a salesman is? It's shitty. You're literally trying to get people to buy shitty stuff. Or you're trying to get it distributed through something, right?
Mm.
And he in the book, he expresses how unhappy he is with his life, period.
Yeah, and how lucky Salim is that he has that.
How lucky the cab driver is.
Yes, yes.
Salim is actually the salesman, and how much he resents his life. His brother-in-law doesn't like him. His wife is not happy with him. Mm. He's not happy with them. They're in Oman. He's in New York, away from him. Right. She's probably cheating on him. He's very unhappy with his life.
Mm.
The djinn, on the other hand, is a cab driver, and he's not happy with it either, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's a djinn. And by the end of that piece of the book, that section of the tale, the djinn traded life with him.
Yeah.
So pretty much giving Salim a second chance at life.
Yeah.
A new identity, an entirely new job, new everything.
So the djinn didn't want to go with, like, Jay-Z or somebody like that?
Exactly. No. Well, I imagine that, Salim actually had skills.
I'm playing around. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I mean, look, it's a djinn, right? Look,
just went Monique on
I'm just saying. Look, if it was a female djinn
And, you know, and if any one of the dudes put it on her and she's like, I'm so grateful for that dick. I'm going to switch lives with you. You know what happened? You were like this. Oh, that's fine.
That's some grateful. That's some gratitude.
I'm just saying. But, you know, so that's what it is. It was just like almost like a feeling of gratitude.
Yeah.
For the story, for how they portrayed it in the TV show.
It was a little more subtle.
It was subtle, but I don't know if everybody would get that.
Yeah.
Because even the person I was watching with, my girl, she, and the thing is, I had to agree with her, the way it looked is like the gym took over his life.
Yes, and that was actually my big question mark about it, because I couldn't understand if that was actually him, or if that was the switch of the life, because I read the book too, so I wasn't really sure which one they were going for.
Right.
But I kind of like the ambiguousness of it.
You like it? Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like, let's see if we see that guy again later, maybe we'll find out the answer. You know?
Okay, right, the little mystery for it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll buy that.
Let's see if there was something, you know, malicious about that.
That's yeah. I mean, aside from that, guys, you get a bank robbery that I will not tell you about. There's a bank robbery that is done in such class.
Yes.
And panache. Would you agree with that?
I would.
It's
a classy bank robbery.
And it
better than the Point Break bank robbers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Better than Heat.
Yes. because it's Wednesday, and when you figure Wednesday's a god. He does some shit. Look.
No.
I mean,
it'll totally change your whole idea about the whole entire thing. Actually.
Okay.
I'll just say that. Right.
I'll go with that.
What do you think?
Yeah, I did not see it coming that way.
Right. And Mad Sweeney, is back again.
Yes. Okay.
And the Zoria sisters.
Yes.
We'll get her them, and you'll get the story. You might get the story of the Doomhound.
Yeah,
they hinted at it the last episode.
The last episode.
Okay. They kind of went through it again.
The Doomhound is a great... I actually love that, the idea of the Doomhound. Because it's... Spoilers? Should I tell?
No, they already talked about it last week.
This is like cosmic horror right here. This is.
I mean, technically it is a myth. It's been around for a very long time.
It's all a myth. There are no spoilers. It's all a myth.
Well, and then the sun goes down. And then the sun goes down and the gargoyles come to life. Like,
except in Japan. That shit is bullshit. But
and it's called Brooklyn. I can't believe that.
The beautiful...
I'm sorry.
The idea...
You lost me there.
The beautiful thing, the idea, you know, it's a... Oh, yeah, okay. You know what? We'll let you see it. We'll let you watch it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Because it's a great idea. You're right. Okay.
So, Terrence, since you're new to the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans family, we're going to throw one quick question at you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just as sort of a get-to-know-you kind of thing.
All right.
That's what I was saying. There's no wine left. Favorite guilty pleasure movie and why?
Oh my god.
Nice, yes.
Okay, I have an automatic response, and I'm actually kind of ashamed that this is literally the first thing that just popped in my head.
Which is exactly why we want it.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is Deep Blue Sea.
No! Yes!
Really?
LL Cool J, Deep Blue Sea?
LL Cool J. Yes!
We are not going to fight anymore!
I'm going to die down here!
We're going to pull together!
Oh my.
And it was precisely for that scene. Like, that scene and everything with LL Cool J, the fact that he's talking to this bird and he loves this bird so much that he is going to fight two hyper intelligent sharks for this damn parakeet. I love you, LL. I love you for that dedication. It was just a ridiculous, stupid movie. And everyone who I want to die actually dies. That made me really happy.
Yeah.
The chicken. Who at the end she's like, I'm gonna sacrifice myself. I was like, good, you deserve, you're the one person that should have been dead from get-go. This is your fault. Yes, sacrifice yourself, go.
Mm.
So it was a very pleasing movie. It was cathartic.
That's great.
Awesome.
And that is why I asked that question.
Mm.
I did not realize it was going to be Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Gold. But
there it is, folks. There it is, yep.
All right, gentlemen, any last bit of business you guys want to hit? Because we're almost to an hour.
I do have to add this.
Mm.
There is a children's book out. It's available on Kindle.
Okay.
Called Etienne and the Stardust Express,
mm-hmm.
written by me,
Oh. Artwork by Taryn.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
She did the artwork for this.
You have been holding out.
We have been spending the problem has been trying to get it in print form.
Okay.
Because a lot of places don't do landscape printing.
Oh.
And the way she drew it. And basically it's, I wrote this poem for a friend of mine who was his son.
Okay.
And his son used to like scooch around the house and they had this dog named Cajun and the dog would always like play with the boy. Mm. So the whole story is about this boy who gets dragged through the house by the family dog, but places in the house are actually places in the world.
Mm.
So his mother is Italian, his father's French.
Okay.
And so wherever certain parts of the house were France, certain parts were Pompeii, mm-hmm. certain parts were Rome, because they all lived in New York. One part of the house was like Grand Central Station. Taryn did the artwork for it. It's an amazing piece of work.
What's the title again? I'm sorry.
Etienne and the Stardust Express.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's still available for Kindle. I'm hoping this year now with technology the way it is, I can get it in print form so that we can get some books so that we can start moving this thing.
Well,
but
that is fantastic. That is,
yeah. Absolutely.
Big ups to the two of you.
Beautiful.
You.
I love to hear that. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah.
The secret keeping over here.
Right. Want to tell nobody nothing?
Plans within plans.
I got to have all kinds of people in my house cooking stuff to get information.
Yeah, right?
This is some bullshit. But no, seriously, congratulations.
Thank
you guys. That's beautiful.
Thank.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that little reveal, that is going to do it for us here at the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium.
Nice.
For Kirk, Mark, Taryn, and myself, we bid you a fond, blurty-ass good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You guys were almost harmonizing that. That was cute.
Oh.